Hey there, softball universe, and welcome back to another episode of Softball Diaries. I'm your host, Alex Klugger, here with my co-host, Matthew Bogovitsky.
Hey, guys! Welcome to another episode of Softball Diaries. What number are we on? 43?
44, baby. 44. Obama.
Very exciting. We have a very special guest in our midst. It's the Possum Kingdom, Rachel Sanders.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey, Rachel. How's it going?
It's going all right. I feel a little better.
So. You feel a little better. So I think a couple people nursing some hangovers possibly. But, you know, we're gonna do our best to provide entertainment for you.
Yeah. Great to come back to the podcast a few weeks off. Welcome back, Buko. Happy October, everybody. Buko, tell us about your little Cali trip.
Yeah, I went to visit sometimes correspondent,
West Coast correspondent,
Justin Hunt.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic time. We got to check in on our friend Ryan Gosling. He seems like he's doing okay. It looks like he's maybe got a new movie in the works. That's what it seemed like was happening.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And I got to poke. You've ever had poke, Klugger?
Is that like, that's like Hawaiian something?
Hawaiian sushi. Yeah, it's really freaking good, and I can't wait for it to catch on, and then for me to get kind of disgusted with it.
I've seen it available at Garage before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
classic food truck food.
It's fucking awesome, so.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Kate.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Taylor.
Taylor's birthday?
Yeah. She turned, like, on Thursday, she turned 24.
Oh. Cool. I should have said something to her. But, yeah, we all went and celebrated at the Venture Inn, deep in the heart of the Gaborhood. Lots of 60s music.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I don't know. Yeah, it was good times.
It was fun. More importantly, though, big Eagles win this weekend.
Yeah.
Back in it, baby.
They managed to, like, win very easily while still kind of looking bad at the same time. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Welcome to your 2015 Philadelphia Eagles.
Anyway. Yeah, just, I mean, I'm kind of playing and still not watching the team. It's, they're not, the games are not fun. This game was better than they have been, but still not great.
Well, you are somebody that watches the Phillies even when they're 20 games below 500 and looking bad, so.
Yeah, I mean, they only lost, actually, yeah, Phillies ended their season, 99 wins. Okay, fine. It was 99 losses.
Not 100. There you go.
Yeah, didn't break 100 this year. All right. Let's see. We haven't talked about the Pope yet, which is like kind of like feels like it was a long time ago. But Buko, when you were in LA, the Pope came and it was a lot of fun.
Really, I had no idea. Wow, that's crazy.
We actually, Erica, Gabe, Kate, Quincy, and I were mere inches away from the Pope. And I feel like if he had gone out there and been like, I will bless you if you convert to Catholicism, I would have considered it at that point. So, definitely powerful man.
Wow, yeah? Did he heal your arm?
No, no? I mean, he didn't do anything. He didn't even stop or make eye contact with me, so nothing really happened. But there was a threat of something potentially happening at that very, very moment.
The Pope was that close to kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Like, look, stop looking at me. I'm going to break your face.
Where were you guys when you saw him?
We were, like, right by Franklin Square Park. He was, like, driving down from 676 to get to Independence Hall.
Oh,
he drove down a one-way, the opposite direction, so that's, like, a miracle. That's one of his main. I don't know why they did that, but yeah, the whole thing went by.
The motorcade. Just to prove, kind of like everyone biking over the Ben Franklin Bridge. They did it just to be like, yeah we're going the wrong way down the street. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, we biked from City Hall back to the waterfront on Sansom going the wrong way, just kind of to be like, fuck you. But
yeah,
everyone was saying
fuck you to traffic laws.
Yeah, it was awesome. Abandoned City Hall was awesome, or abandoned Center City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, unsurprisingly, we have a great episode coming up. We're gonna jump right in the recap of a all-time classic game.
Yeah, really, Tuesday. Instant classic. ESPN classic.
There we go.
There you go. Definitely. We're gonna have an interview with Rachel Sanders, get to know her, and finally, stock market.
Return of one of Buko's favorite segments.
I think it's down to like fifth on my power rankings of segments.
One of your favorites.
Yeah.
Though.
All right. Definitely.
So after a few weeks off, due to weather or not enough players or something like that, it was great that Tuesday came along and it was unseasonably warm. And, you know, this game kind of had that fall classic feel to it where it was like, you know, the playoffs, baseball playoffs were just starting and it felt like, you know, there was like a little bit of something in the air.
Definitely. I mean, the game started off, it felt very relaxed at first, but the intensity definitely built up to the point where, like, we had a really good game going. People were really into it, and I thought it was a great game just overall.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna bring this back at some point, but this game had everything. It had something for everything.
Sure, everybody. You got defense, offense. I mean, we haven't seen this sort of power numbers in years.
Totally. So the captains were Justin Scherr and myself, which was a battle of the inactives again. I'm inactive because I'm a wuss, and Justin has, I think, a staph infection.
Yeah, he refers to it as an autoimmune something or other.
Yeah, I heard it was ringworm.
Hopefully it's
ringworm.
Multiple worms. Yeah, hopefully it's not MRSA, though.
I hope so. I mean, otherwise, that almost canceled an NFL game, so.
Yeah. Okay. So, the teams were, it was 8 players versus 9 players, and because of the offense, there was a lot of at-bats, which was pretty cool to see.
Right. I mean, I think that's something that also helped the offense. I mean, it was a very high-scoring game, and definitely getting, like, reps, like, you know, as soon as you, you know, people were getting at-bats every inning, which was great. It was so much fun to play it.
And my team had a full offense, so they had to play, or defense, so they had to play defense the whole game, which came back to really be something a little bit of, or the interesting right. thing.
Definitely
which we'll get back to in a second. But first off, Scherr's defund Doctors Without Borders jumped out to, I believe, a 6-0 lead.
Yeah. Oh, let's check the stats on that. Oh, no.
There was definitely some serious power numbers.
They scored 4 in the first.
Who started pitching for us? It was
Sam
started pitching.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily due to Sam's ineffectiveness as much as it was the fact that our outfield was probably one of the weakest all-time outfield setup. We were limited to 3 players, and not only was the ball traveling, but the ball was hitting spots, and it was not being tracked and you know, brought in effectively.
Yeah, 2 home runs in 1 inning. Tom had a triple. Tom Kelly had a triple, and then Zach Gross followed that with a home run.
Ugh.
And then there was an out in between, and then Matt Smith also hit a home run.
Yeah,
Matt. And I honestly, like, if
proud we had, favorite Matt Smith,
yeah,
sarcastically.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot of air quotes in that.
Yeah.
Crowd favorite. But yeah, the home runs are really well hit. I mean, I think they would have all been hits. I don't know if they would have all been home runs depending on who was playing in the
outfield.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta give it to Matt Smith, who ended up having 2 4 baggers. He hit both of them pretty hard.
Right. And yeah, they just did a really good job. And after that, we made a, we'll just go into it. Natalie Cross had a, we decided to let her pitch, or she decided that she wanted to pitch.
Yeah, we were in dire straits, and we made a defensive switch, basically, to put Sam or another person in the outfield, and we brought Nat Cross in to pitch. It was her pitching debut.
Right.
And she pitched so well.
She killed it.
Right. I mean, she was throwing strikes, and batters weren't getting a great read on her initially, and it also just helped. And not that I think Natalie's a bad fielder, but she doesn't have the speed or like the ball tracking skills that Sam did in the outfield. So it was like helped us defensively, and it also helped us like pitching wise because she was being effective.
Yeah, and she pitched what, 4 innings?
4 innings in her debut,
which is pretty crazy for a debut. Really stretched the arm out, and
gotta love her attitude on it too. She was just like, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it. I don't care." She wasn't nervous. She, you know, big game Nat Cross. You know,
yeah. So with her pitching defensively, offensively, the my team, which was Planned Parenthood, came back in spades.
Yeah, we sort of chipped away because they had scored 8 runs in their first 2 innings, and we sort of chipped away. We didn't get the big hits like they did, but we're getting people on base consistently. I had a really good game.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Key at bat for us was probably your bases loaded double, which
yeah,
I think cleared
bases,
the bases.
Bases clearing double,
wow.
Which is, I think it was, I finally went back to Sam's bat. I really like hitting off Tom. Tom, like, throws it the way I like to hit it.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has a very open, high release.
Right. I remember on that double, like the ball was like on the upper outside part of the plate, and I was like, I'm gonna go the other way with it. And I've never thought that while hitting the ball is like go the other way with it. So he has some sort of magic I like hitting off of.
Hey, great to hear. It worked for me. I actually pitched you. You hit between Gabe and Sam, so I think that maybe, you know, Sam provided a little bit of protection for you, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. You can't pitch around me. And Gabe did a great job getting on base, so there was always somebody to knock in.
Yeah. Yeah, Gabe and Nat, so it's like our 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters were really the key towards this victory.
Right. So the score at one point, we had taken the lead. It was 10-9.
Yeah, so, that sounds right.
Yeah. And Matt Smith hit another home run one inning, so they had, I think they were still behind one. Yeah, they were behind one going into the bottom, or the top of the fifth.
Yeah. So, but a key non-at-bat was the fact that Matt Smith left halfway through the game to go get PBR, missed his at-bat.
I think they were Narragansetts, actually.
I think it was PBR.
Oh, okay, you might be right.
But whatever. Either way, you know, real team player to abandon the team because of the overconfidence there. Missing an at-bat, and who knows what he could have done with an extra at-bat.
I know, because he was really hitting the ball. But the defund Doctors Without Borders had a couple men on. Zach Gross had a big hit, a double, but he scoring two, and then two batters later,
Matt Smith comes up again. This is post beer run.
This was actually, I think, on Stephanie's ground out. Okay. The ball was grounded, failed, and thrown to me, who was playing first base, and we had asked Rohan to cover home. Now, he was on the other team, and he just didn't bother to cover, and
Zach, he covered extremely late.
Yes, and Zach
basically took the open base, because that's essentially what it was. It wasn't it wasn't part of the first part of the play. It was in very much because there was an opening there.
I started running towards home, because I knew Zach would try and do that.
Yeah, you got to think, if Rohan was covering, Zach doesn't even attempt it. But either way, you still threw it, and it was a close play, and it definitely controversial, because I would have argued a little bit, if I was Gross, that it doesn't fucking matter what happened, I would have scored. But went back to third, and that is key, because that run stayed at third.
Right.
Did not plate it.
I think I didn't throw the ball earlier, because there was no one standing there, and had to wait for Rohan to come out before I like had to like throw it like last second.
Absolutely. I think Rohan was caught dancing, to be honest.
So the score at that point was 11-10 for defund Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah, so they took a one-run lead into the sixth.
Right. Or this was actually at the bottom of the fifth.
Okay,
that
whatever.
That was so weird. But Gabe led off with a triple.
Last at-bats.
Gabe led off with a triple. I got a single to bring into, you know, that was the tying run.
Yep.
And then Sam pushed me over to third, and then Sanders. Can you walk us through this at bat here?
Well, I distinctively remember saying to you, Alex, when I was walking out, I was like, I think you're more nervous about this than I am. Mm. I was just drunk.
Well, you had some liquid courage, yeah.
I was like, I got this. Got this all day. And easily could have like struck out or popped out or whatever. But yeah, I just...
See, I'm a little bit surprised, because you did seem to be caring about the game a lot. Like, you were getting mad that I was giving you errors, because you were committing errors.
Well, no, the reason I was mad I got those errors on third is, again, explicitly remember saying, I'm too drunk to be on third.
Yeah, you said that several times, yeah.
And I still get put on third. So I like to relinquish some of that blame there, but I'll take all of it for that walk-off.
Yeah, walk-off hit. Huge game. Yeah. Yeah. So, couple game notes. Let's see. It was another sad day for Tom Kelly.
Well, he had such a good game at bat that I wouldn't say... I think that we figured him out pitching. Like, his pitching.
I mean, I don't think that he ever... He never claimed to be a monumentally good pitcher. Right. And I don't think that his pitching was necessarily bad, but he did get hit around a little bit. But that's not that's not why his team lost.
I have to say, in Tom Kelly's defense, he did mention that he's not quite sure why you guys are always out to get him.
We're not out to get him. I feel like after the Suburban Classic, when his team got basically smacked down, this was another opportunity where it was basically... It's a very similar squad plus Gross versus a very similar squad on the other side. And he went up, he was basically front running the whole game. And to see the lead, fall away and eventually be on the wrong side of a walk-off victory, you know, not exactly a super compelling game for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he knows that why I like to pick on him, and it's because he's really, really good. Like, that's why it's fun to pick on him, because, like, he is really good. I don't think, he never claimed to be a good pitcher. He always said, like, he just throws it over the plate. And yeah. But it's weird.
Defensively, though, he's a great defensive pitcher.
Oh, yeah, he's great. And, like, the thing is, like, he does that, and, like, the same thing happened, I think, with Mark Vaughn, where they both, pitching-wise, started out great. And then I think that there is a bit, like, batters start to figure out how you pitch. Like, Mark, you really have to wait. Like, he throws it so lightly, you have to wait. Like, yeah. People get better as they see more of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what happens. It's, like, natural, and I don't think Tom's a bad pitcher at all. I just think that, you know, like, it's sort of a natural, like, you'll eventually find the mean, you know? Like, I think that's all it was. Seems but he like did have it. A great day at the plate. I mean, he was a triple, or a home run short of the cycle. You know, he and Zach Gross were, like, really great for it, and Matt Smith were all really good for their team.
But. Yeah, Yoski had a great catch in foul territory.
Oh,
over,
yeah.
Over the fence.
Yeah, he did a great job tracking. Yeah, really great job tracking the ball.
Really scary. That was actually almost the play to end it, but we decided to play another, so yeah. It would have been a crazy way to end the game, but either way, still a great, great catch. Yeah, but it was, like, such a close game, and there was so much back and forth that you got to really feel bad for whichever team was eventually going to lose it.
Sure.
In this case, it was defund Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah, I was elated to win.
So yeah, Buco's Beer of the Game, presented by Buco to Buco.
Yeah, almost, but Gabe pronounced me player of the game. I don't think there's much argument there. 4-for-4 with 6 RBIs, I think, is pretty good. But Matt Smith presented me with a Narragansett. That's why I thought it was a Narragansett.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad that we won so we didn't have to give Buco's Beer of the Game to the aforementioned Smith.
Yeah. I know. Just, I like being mean. Anyway, but also, it's a nice picture opportunity at the end. I thought that picture came out great.
Yeah,
I thought
we're Kumbaya adorable. And all that stuff.
I know.
Ubuntu, like, oh, just like,
there's
you
so
know,
many characters in that picture, yeah. And you can just see it. Wasted hours before we knew. All right, very excited to have Rachel Sanders in the studio with us. I feel like now we've gotten just about all of the big names from softball.
Definitely season. The rookie class. Yeah.
I think we've gotten everybody. So
I'm
this was
the B squad.
Yeah. So Sanders, where are you from?
I'm from Possum Quarter, North Carolina.
Possum Kingdom Possum is what she meant Florida. To say.
So what does that mean?
Yeah. So I'm from a little swamp right off the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's technically in Elizabeth City in Pasquotank County, but our neighborhood is Possum Quarter. It's like the Fishtown area of the city. You know, it's just like
what city?
Elizabeth City.
Elizabeth City.
Yeah,
big city.
It's huge, but we don't even live inside of that. So those are the big city folks, and we're in the country.
Okay. So, like, hanging out with a lot of possums.
Lot of possums.
So, I'm just, like, kind of picturing Deliverance here.
Well, my sister did marry my cousin. So, my nephew was named after my great-great-granddad because it's the same person on either side.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay. Is that legal?
Well, she's technically my half-sister, so there's no blood relation. Yeah. But it's a very tight family. Like, they met at a family reunion.
I mean, are they good looking?
They're very attractive people, so.
Can't be blamed for either side.
The dating pool down there is slim, so at least you can vouch for their family.
She did date a possum.
Yeah. So is that just like a funny nickname, or is it well populated with possums?
It's pretty well populated with possums. It's kind of the official unofficial name of the area. Again, it's like Fishtown, or it's not like, you know, you don't say like there's no like post office that says Fishtown, but it is like clearly delineated as Possum Quarter.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you hunt possum there? You ever hunt possum? You ever killed a possum with your bare hands?
I've seen it done. There's a very specific technique to kill a possum where you step on its back and pull its tail.
Whoa. So it's like a fatality. Like.
It's kind of like a fatality. There's not much need to kill them. They're very, like, they're docile creatures.
Have you ever eaten possum?
No, that's gross.
I don't know. I'm sure somebody eats possums.
No, I don't know. Probably
it's kind of it's a giant rat. It probably kind of carries disease.
Do we eat any rodents? What's like the closest kind of rodent thing that we eat?
I don't know. I mean, in other countries, people eat guinea pigs pretty regularly.
Yeah, guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs are weird. They don't have tails. They're just like fat.
Yeah, they're exactly.
So, do you have any siblings?
I have two older sisters. One is actually in labor right now. So I'll have a new nephew by potentially the end of this podcast.
We'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I can't wait for to get tweeted on to us and we can news from the Sanders family.
That's not a first child for them?
It is their first
child. Wow, huge deal.
Yeah, and it's gonna be like a 9-pound baby, so.
But this isn't the one that's married to the cousin.
No, it's not the one that's married to the
nephew
cousin.
Or whatever. Interesting.
Yeah, so it'll be my third nephew. But the first from the sister.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in Fishtown for?
I've only lived here for about a year. I've been in Philly for 6 years.
Okay.
Oh, 6 years. Okay.
What brought you to Philadelphia?
I needed a change, and my biggest fear was living somewhere where I didn't know anybody. So I figured Philly was good enough. You know, it's like, it's close enough to home so I could visit. I didn't know a single person here, and I got a job at the orchestra, so I just picked up and moved and tried to figure it out from there. At 22, you have a lot of energy for shit like that. The idea of doing that now sounds awful.
Yeah, that is
what
terrifying.
What job did you get with the orchestra?
I did marketing for their college program.
Okay.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Okay. Well, you weren't in the orchestra.
No, not at all. My cheesy answer to anyone that asked me if I played an instrument was I played the keyboards. I tried to make up instruments before that, but turns out a sousaphone, people actually do play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sousaphones are pretty commonly played instruments.
Yeah, you don't want to get involved in a sousaphone conversation if you don't actually play a sousaphone.
Yeah, sousaphone people are pretty intense, too. They, like, you know.
Yeah, I got myself a little too deep a couple times, so after that, I just went with the gimmicky keyboard on my computer, so.
Claire, wow. you're a amateur keyboard player.
Oh,
so.
Dude, I actually, it's a sampling keyboard. It's like a totally different instrument, you know.
I know. Well, you play your voice is, you know, like.
Yeah, dude, SK-1, it's a classic.
It is.
So, where were you living before you moved to Philadelphia?
I was in Greenville, North Carolina, which is just a little bit inland from Possum Quarter. There's a bunch of Greenville folks up here now. So
is that
nice
where Kira's college is?
Kira's
is
from Greensboro.
Well, she's not. Is she from Greensboro? Or she went to college.
She is from Belfont.
Mayor Belfont.
Her dad is the mayor of Belfont. We went and saw him in the 4th of July parade a couple years ago. He rode his little bicycle. She was in Greensboro.
So they're not. They're very far apart, not related.
Yeah, they're pretty far apart.
So wait, but you didn't know her when you came up here, right?
No.
Okay.
I met her.
So Greensburg and Greensville aren't that close.
I mean, not everybody in North Carolina knows each other.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. All right, no, all right, sorry.
No, she ended up moving into the house that I lived in West Philly. She was my downstairs neighbor, so we became friends that way.
Gotcha.
And she hated me for a second.
What'd you do to her?
I don't know.
Kira's a very nice person.
I
feel like you had to do something.
Turns out, no, she's even admitted this to me later. She was like, I don't know why. She was like, but I gave you bitch face as soon as I met you. But I took that as a challenge and I worked on her. And now we're friends. Suck it, Kira. You're my friend now.
Nice.
Yeah, suck it, Kira. That is her catchphrase, I feel like, is suck it.
You think so?
She says it to me. I definitely deserve that, though.
You just have that kind of face.
Sure.
So, pretty crazy. So, you've been in Philly for 6 years now. So, I would say, like, what's your impression? But I guess you like it and feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah. You know what? My dad and my grandma came up to visit when I first moved up here. I was living right around the corner from, like, Pat's and Gino's. And my grandma was, like, the light of my life. So, I took them out. We went to the orchestra. And then we went to Pat's. to get cheesesteaks. Now, I'll always remember this story as, like, the thing that made me fall in love with Philly. It's, like, you know, the guy at Pat's was like, what do you want? What kind of cheese? Whatever. And he was, like, really rude. And he yelled at my dad. And my grandma came up to the window, and he was like, oh, honey, what do you want?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'd like a hot dog. And he's like, oh, you're just a little Southern Belle, aren't you? And he, like, got her hot dog, brought it out for her, and was just, like, so sweet. And then immediately started yelling at the next person in line. And my dad was just like, wow, people in Philly aren't mean, they're just in a hurry. And I've got, like, that's kind of stuck with me. I mean, some of them are mean, but for the most part, everybody's just got their own thing going on, which I kind of appreciate.
Yeah, I think we have a reputation for being meaner than we actually are. Like, I think there's mean people everywhere. Sure. And
I think you might be right. Everyone is in a rush. That was like...
Not everybody's in a rush. Most people have nothing to do.
People expect... I mean, that was weird. Like, going to the South is like, if you go to like a fast food restaurant and order food, like, they like want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I guess there's a different pace.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, it's not like necessarily mean or even in a rush. You just like sort of expect things to like... I give you money, you give me the food, that's the end of transaction. It's
Well, in a small town, too, you assume there is, like, some connection between you and the person that you're interacting with, whether it's, like, relatives or, like, you went to high school with them or some sort of connection, like, they know your brother's cousin, whatever, and so you have to, like, be polite at all
times. So you have to ask them out, you know?
Yeah, well, like, here it's just, like, a lot more anonymous. It doesn't matter if you're rude to somebody because you're probably not going to see them again.
Yeah, but not lost in that story is the fact that Pat's sells hot dogs.
Turns out.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like even if they're on the menu, they would be like, no, you can't get a hot dog.
He was so sweet. He was like, I cried at Pat's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, my God. All right. The only time I cried at Pat's is when I ate too many of those hot dogs.
Yeah,
that was your butt that was crying.
Yeah, it was my butt that cried.
Bugo's butt.
I cried several times after that thing.
Why do my tears burn?
Yeah.
All right, so let's take it back to North Carolina just a little bit more.
Okay.
What did you do during your like summer vacation?
Well, we didn't really do summer vacation, so I just, like, lived on the Outer Banks every summer and worked a ton. And it was nice.
Is there, like, a boardwalk sort of thing?
Wings?
There's Super Wings. The people that work there...
You just sell the OBX bumper stickers?
Yeah, the people that work at the Super Wings, it's so depressing. So they get, like, Eastern European people, and they pack, like, 12 of them in a house.
Yeah.
And they, like, work them nonstop at Wings, and they pay them in, like, vouchers to live in the house. It's kind of like a coal miner getting paid from, like, the company's store. It's like, great, you can live here, and here's, like, 50 Wings bucks. You can buy, like, 9 t-shirts of, like, ladies, like, that make you look like you're wearing a bikini.
Yeah. What's the difference between a Wings and a Super Wings?
You got me. I have no idea.
Because I think that I went to North Carolina, there was a Wings in one parking lot and a Super Wings in the other parking lot. And I don't know. The Super Wings didn't feel like a super-sized version of the regular Wings.
No, I think it might just all be marketing. Just trying to suck you into the Super Wings.
It got me.
Sometimes you feel more homey, you just want wings. Sometimes you want, like, to super. Blow out, yeah. So you go to Super
Sometimes
Wings.
Sometimes your flow's a little heavier and you need Super Wings.
That's true.
Is that a menstruation joke?
Am I
allowed
to make a menstruation joke?
Well, the FCC is going to make us bleep that out.
Book and I are extremely comfortable with menstruation jokes.
You both live with ladies. You probably have to be good at menstruation at this point.
I don't think that's true.
Puka's like a...
I just hold that. Face is red right now. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you're seriously blushing right now.
No, I'm just not...
So, speaking of transformative teenage experiences, do you remember your first kiss?
I do, yeah.
Is it a good story?
Not really. It was Rich Alsbrook. He was the...
Hey, Rich.
Hi, Rich. He was the head lifeguard at the pool in
Tokyo. Oh, my God. Good for you. That's a get.
He was older, and he drove a Camaro.
What?
So, I mean, it was, like, every possible...
Rich, call me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was so cute and so dumb. I still really like him. He actually ended up marrying the girl that he dated right after me. She was on the volleyball.
So close!
I know, so close! She was on the volleyball team with me, and so it was real strange.
So do you ever look at their Facebook pictures or whatever, if they have Facebook down there, and be like, that could have been me?
You know what? So often, not often, but sometimes I'll look at my ex-boyfriends and I'm like, thank God that's not me. Like, they have, like, a cute little house in Raleigh and dogs that they dress up for holidays and they take matching sweater photos together, and I'm like, good for you, but oh my God. That looks like actual hell.
Well, they sound happy.
They're very happy, and she was always very sweet, so
okay, I'm happy so no, for them. Yeah, so no, your feelings, you know. Sorry, bad words.
The Camaro, though, would have been great.
I know. That would have been so great.
Was it an 80s or 90s Camaro?
It was a Z28.
Was it a convertible?
It was a 90s T-top Camaro. Oh. And to bring it full circle, no, I guess it was an SS, a Z28. He had a Firebird at one point. His dad was a dealer. His dad was a car dealer.
That was a drug dealer, so he got all the cars he wanted.
He had, like, a bunch of different cocaine, types of cars. Yeah. But to bring Camaro. It full circle, he was 16 and I was 15, and he let me drive the Camaro. And we were going to
was
our...
Was it stick?
No, it was regular. That's but I was too young to drive, and we were going to our secret spot.
Make out spot?
Yeah, make out, quote. And I was driving, I saw this thing in the road, and it was really hot out, and it turns out it was a possum.
Wow.
That had been hit by a car that had, like, inflated due to the gas of it being, like, 100 degrees outside.
Now, if that doesn't turn you on, I don't know.
So I nail this possum, and the gut
just,
like,
God.
The undercarriage of the car, and we didn't know it, and all we'd, like, riding with the windows down, and, like, getting this god-awful smell, so we roll the windows up. Turn the AC on, which turns out to be double time worse, so we have to stop the car, and we both get out and puke everywhere. And we look underneath, and there's just, like, possum hanging.
Oh, God.
And that's what life's like in the possum kingdom.
Wow.
That's pretty
But I guess, yeah, but you're like, well, we both threw up, so I guess we can make out stuff.
Yeah, we can totally still make out.
Yeah, it's fine.
What'd you eat earlier?
Possum.
So, you ever been arrested?
No, I haven't. I've done pretty well with that.
Alright.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I mean, you ever been written up or anything?
Well, I mean, I've been pretty close, but, I've managed to talk my way out of some pretty, I should have gotten tickets. Like, when we had parties at my house in college on, like, Tuesday nights until 4 a.m., I remember my friends were singing gospel music on the porch at 4 a.m., and this cop shows up. And
definitely arrestable.
It was right at graduation, so my uncle had given me some moonshine. So I had moonshine in one hand, a glass of whiskey in the other. Like, it couldn't have been more cliche. And this cop shows up, and he goes, "You gotta keep this shit down." And he was like, "Who lives here?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, officer, did you just say shit to me?" And I was like, "I'm pretty sure you can't cuss." And he was like, "You know what? Y'all just have a good night." And he came in down.
Really?
Like, he immediately backtracked, which was weird, but I think,
that
like,
is
in a...
weird. I'm pretty sure he's allowed to curse if he really wants to.
I think I'd seen some Law and Order that told me he wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
So I just, like, doubled down, and I think, like, in a college town, they get a little power trippy, and anytime someone, like, pushes back against them, they just kind of, like, back down. So I didn't get my ticket that night, but that was probably the closest I ever came.
It's funny. He was probably like, not worth it. Not tonight.
He was probably like close to the end of his shift. He just wanted to go home. Not deal with my drunk ass.
Yeah, I guess it was 4 a.m. And yeah. There's a bunch of people singing gospel.
So this time of year really gets me in the mood for Halloween scary movies. What's your personal favorite scary movie?
You gotta ask it the right way. What's your favorite scary movie? You know? Whatever.
Don't get it. Oh my God, I dropped my chair.
From Scream, to Drew Barrymore. Yeah, no, nothing? Okay.
Nothing.
Really?
Your impression was really bad.
I know.
I don't love scary movies.
Me neither.
They make me very uncomfortable.
But it's fun to watch it with a group of people. Like, it really, you gotta embrace that.
I don't have any friends. Rub that in a little more.
All right, well, next weekend, or the weekend after that, we definitely will do a scary movie night here.
Sure. I want to see Unfriended.
Yeah.
Like, I think as far as I go, and Stephanie just walked in, so she's going to be very disappointed that my favorite...
Talk about scary movies.
My favorite scary movie is probably, like, I just blanked on it. I do enjoy Halloween Town, but the one, Hocus Pocus, because it's the same.
Oh, that's not a scary movie.
It's a Halloween movie.
That's not a scary movie.
I was scared at times, like when Binksy died.
What's Binksy? Is that cat?
The cat.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. How do you not know that, Clegger? God.
Sorry.
Well, what about, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I think I'm going to be Jim Henson.
So you're going to have like a puppet? Or are you just going to be Jim Henson without any Muppets?
I'm gonna dress like a hippie and carry around a Kermit.
Yeah, I think turtleneck? I think he does turtlenecks.
He does a little turtleneck. I have to get a beard.
People are going to think you're Steve Jobs.
Well, that's why I'm going to have the Kermit.
Huh. So, yeah, that sounds great.
Wait, what are you guys going to be for Halloween?
I don't know. Work in progress.
I'm trying to think about if I can pull off a good Tina Turner.
You could absolutely pull off a good Tina Turner.
It's really hard to get...
You get the legs for it.
It's really hard to get size 13 women's shoes at an affordable price.
Mm. Isn't this the plot of Kinky Boots, the musical?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it is.
Maybe I should go see it for research.
Yeah, for research purposes,
I feel like
definitely.
They have those at Circle Thrifts. You'd probably be fine.
Yeah, I gotta find... Size 13 is hard. It's like, because I think that's what
really
I am.
Are you really size 13? Oh, in women's.
In women's.
Shoes. Okay, all right, yeah.
Because I think it's two or, I don't know, a little bit more than that. All right, so do you like Mexican food?
I do.
Where do you think are the best tacos in Philadelphia?
I really like
Taco
this.
Bell.
I like the tacos at Loco Pez.
Me too.
I miss the Mexican food from back home because it's like a, southern Mexican fusion where it's all just like cheese and sauce. And I'm a big fan of that. When I came up here and had my first like authentic Mexican, I was so sad.
Because there's not really a ton of cheese on it.
Yeah, there was no cheese. It was like onions and pork belly and cilantro, and I hate cilantro.
Oh, that's definitely going to be a damper on your
So it was a big disappointment for me. But I do like Loco Pez Al Pastor tacos.
Okay. Well, there's that new taco shack where Cripes Crepes presents not just crepes was supposed to be. But
tacos that don't suck?
Tacos that don't suck, apparently.
Yeah. Is that the name of it?
That's the, that's their catchphrase, which is kind of confusing because there's a lot of tacos that don't suck. I don't really understand.
I don't even know that many tacos that genuinely suck. Even tacos are inherently edible.
I know, that's right. Very the confusing thing because it's not like, oh man, like, you can't, like, tacos generally, like, you either do them right or you do it, like, you know, I don't know. I think it's very strange.
Well, I guess it's better than having a catchphrase being like, our tacos are pretty good.
Yeah.
Right.
Where our tacos will you know, are favorable. You know.
The tacos from Que Buena Onda were okay. The Garces taco place that's not Distrito, that's in like the granary. Mm. I wouldn't highly recommend those.
Yeah, the Union Taco, I remember that.
Shifty's though. I really like Shifty's. Have you had Shifty's?
No, what is that?
It's Shifty's. Just a taco place. It's on like what, Brewery Town maybe? Something in Girard, like 24th and Girard, some shit over there. No. Like 4th? I don't know. No, yeah, the other one, I said. 24th, I think. Shifty's is really good. I like those tacos a lot. Okay, so here's a question. And speaking of your convoluted family, is Bernie Sanders your uncle?
You know, I just downloaded Ancestry.com so I could find out, and he is not, but we'll claim him in our family.
He's kind of everybody's weird uncle at this point, I feel like.
I call him Cousin Bernie in conversation. Nice. I'm excited for the day that someone's not like, oh, your last name is Sanders, like the colonel. I want them to say like, oh, Sanders, like the president.
The president. Well, you're going to be waiting a long time for that. But
like the colonel. Colonel Sanders for president. Like, right? No, okay.
What?
Colonel Sanders' popularity has to be all time right now with Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald. Yeah, everyone loves Norm
MacDonald.
I'm
so annoyed with that portrayal of potential ancestor.
It's very annoying. It's a very stupid one.
He seems like he was a very dignified guy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, my granddad would be upset if someone showed him in his long pants on TV. Long pants or your underwear.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah, yeah.
I don't get it.
There's a commercial where he's like in his underwear, but like, oh, yeah.
Oh, is that, that's like dishonorable and stuff like that? Rude?
I guess, why would you wear long underwear in the South or Kentucky, I guess?
Yeah, protect you against possum bites and stuff like that.
Long johns are for. So Sanders, you ride a motorcycle, huh?
I do.
What kind of hog you got?
It's a little baby XS400. It's a 1980 Yamaha. It's broken right now. I broke it, so I need to patch it back together. And this weather is making me sad that I'm not out riding in it.
Have you always been a motorcycle person, or is this your first ride?
I rode when I was younger, and this is my second motorcycle that I've had when I was a little bit older. So I had one, a few years ago, like 4 years ago, and this is my second one that I've had since then.
What year is it?
1980.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that your only mode of transportation? Do you have a car, too? Or?
No, I just got a car for the first time in 6 years, because my new job, well, it's not really new anymore, but my job that I got in January, I have to drive an hour each way. So there's that.
Yeah, I always think about that, like, motorcycles in the wintertime. Probably, I mean, it's not that bad, but I also just wouldn't want to do it.
It's that bad.
It is?
Okay. Yeah, your hands.
I ride my bike, yeah. I also think that's terrible.
So I used to bike year-round, because my bike was my only form of transportation.
You're talking about motorcycle or bicycle? Bicycle.
And so I thought, like, oh, if I can ride my bicycle in February, I can ride a motorcycle in February. It turns out, like, it's completely the opposite, because on your bicycle, you're, like, working up body
heat. Yeah, that's true.
On your motorcycle, you're just sitting in the breeze, and the breeze is going, like, 5 times faster than if you're on your bicycle.
Yeah.
So you're just, like, freezing.
I'd assume there'd be some heat and stuff.
There's no heat. It only gets colder as you...
So you said that you had to get a car for your new job that's pretty far away. Yeah. Care to share what you're doing now?
So I'm a data marketing analyst. So I am, like, a liaison between our web analysis folks and our marketing department, and I kind of translate the two in between.
So a lot of Google Analytics work?
A lot of analytics, a lot of SEO, a little bit of everything. Yeah, it is actually pretty fun.
Do you guys...
Health insurance. I know.
I'm ready to take one to the face.
This is a big deal for you at South Pole. I don't know, you're used to shy, you wouldn't refuse to get tagged, you just pull up. Just not get tagged.
Yeah, well,
well, no, I mean, no insurance, you know.
I fell down yesterday, or 2 days ago, in my house because it was raining, and I fell, like, running back into my house, and my feet got wedged under my door, and I thought that I broke my feet, and it hurt so bad. So my first thought was, like, oh, shit, that hurts. My second thought was, I'm insured.
It does make you feel slightly better.
Yeah.
So breaking your feet would have been bad.
Yeah,
even if you have insurance, would still be kind of rough.
Yeah.
Huh. So, do you have, like, what kind of campaigns are you running? Are you doing AdWords, Facebook, Bing?
Well, the beauty of what I do now is I am solely responsible for our SEO, but I am acting as a consultant to our marketing department for their campaigns.
Yeah.
So I get to evaluate what their vendors are doing. And work with them to actually set up the campaign. So I don't actually do any of it. I just translate it from their vendors to them to tell them what's working and what's not working and where they can improve.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet job.
It's a fun role to play. It's always good to be the consultant in the situation, telling other people what works and what doesn't work. And people be like, well, we tried this, or we're sorry, that's not working. Be like, well, listen, sorry, guys.
Right.
Like, try it like this, and then come back to me.
I don't know. If Clegg was a consultant for me, I'd fire the firm. I'm just joking, Clegg. I'm sure you're great at that.
I don't care.
Are you a consultant? I thought you were more like an analyst.
No. I don't do that consulting stuff anymore.
You're an analyst, right?
Yeah, definitely. Data analyst, support analyst, help out with clients.
Yeah.
You know, interface with developers, create stuff, talk about stuff.
Right.
I don't know. At my work, we're talking about getting the standing desks, and everyone, I say I know someone that has a standing desk.
Yeah, I don't use it much anymore. I can't even claim that I do. But you know, I love having the option to.
Wait, what do you do? I tried to look it up on your Facebook, and I was more confused than when I started.
I don't know, what does it say on
It
my
says
Facebook?
You're like a senior plants versus zombies.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah, that hasn't changed since I first got the job. When I first got the job, I was doing so little that I was spending a lot of time playing Plants versus Zombies on my phone. I work in the billing department at a hospital. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's not exciting, I promise.
I love how you can't say the name of the hospital because...
It's Thomas Jefferson University Hospital.
Well, okay, we can take that out.
And you go see the doctor.
We don't want to be personally, you know, identifiable for this stuff. Who knows?
We're going to say things like Bob Planned Parenthood, but I can't say the name of my job.
That's exactly why. Okay. We have the freedom of speech to say whatever we want because we protect ourselves from Professional development.
Under the cloak of anonymity.
If I get fired for this podcast, I wouldn't even be mad. I would just be like, this is ridiculous.
Oh my God,
then we could finally, you know,
yeah, do we go full time on it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be great.
We could do episodes weekly.
Freedom, finally. Yeah, I know.
All right, so Rachel, what's the first thing you do or think of when you wake up in the morning?
I wonder where my cat is, because usually he's like either on my head trying to kill me, or he's somewhere waiting in the shadows to attack me.
Shout outs to, what's your cat's name?
Sir David Bowie Santiago.
Sir David Bowie Santiago. Yeah. Shouts.
Yeah, shouts out to him.
Thanks for trying to murder Rachel every once in a while.
He has thumbs, so I'm trying to teach him how to text me when I'm not there.
Very important. Yeah. We always ask Maximus to try and turn on the air conditioner when we're like, you know, like forgot to do it.
Yeah.
We're coming home late.
Yeah, I've asked him to, like, turn off the light. For me, it's just getting weird. Like, he follows me around the house all the time and, like, just stares at me. And I'm like, dude, get a hobby. Like, there's got to be something else for you to do that's just not watching me.
Sleep?
He can
sleep.
How,
what could the cat possibly... Yeah, other than sleep.
I don't know. Read a book.
He's like... Give me a book then, like
start some sorts of like art.
Start a blog. Yeah.
It's hard for him to have a hobby because he doesn't have a job, right? It's like I think step one is get a fucking job.
Yeah,
right?
Get a job. Pay for your own litter, scoop your own shit. Like it's like having a kid that never leaves the nest. He just like he tries to contribute, he brings like mice home.
Well maybe you could, that's good.
Is it indoor outdoor?
Cat?
Yeah, so he brings birds in and leaves them on my floor.
Oh, so he has hobbies.
Yeah, like leaving mice in my bed. It's really nice.
It's a present.
I love him.
First of all, that's a job.
That's a hard job.
Yeah.
He's like, at least somebody's bringing home the mice.
When we had the mouse and like Maximus wasn't, like Maximus sometimes doesn't want to be bothered with these things. And I'm like, that's your rent right there, is catching that mouse. Now you don't have any claws or teeth, so be creative. Maximus.
Yeah, just like slap it around.
Yeah, she's good at it actually.
Bowie just like plays the things to death, so that's why I think he might not be well.
I think the problem is that you named him Sir. So you already gave him a sense of entitlement.
He earned the sir.
No, he did earn the sir.
He was originally
David Bowie Santiago.
Yeah.
And then he became sir.
Yeah.
What did he get knighted for?
So he uses his thumbs like actually as like opposable appendages.
Yeah, it's like an autodact or whatever.
Yeah, polydactyl. So I was biting a piece of food one night and he walked up and just like grabbed it from my mouth. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
That's amazing. Oh, that's awesome.
So that was the day that he earned the sir. I was like, you run this place, and I'm just, it's your world I'm living in. Yeah, I was like really slow and deliberate. He just grabbed it from me.
That's amazing. I'm so glad Maximus isn't capable of
that. Do you have a Trello sticker on your phone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Extra nerdy.
I got it when I was in San Fran last week. We love Trello at work. We use it all the time.
I use Trello all the time. Huge. Me and you and our Trello and our Slack. We can organize everything and not get anything done.
Yeah, our default at work, our default for problem solving is like, well, let's create another Trello board.
Right.
Yeah. And now there's like 500 of them in my work, and it's just like, we need to move on to something else.
I know nothing about Trello, but this is exciting.
Think about it. It's like, it's almost like a Pinterest board, but for project management and collaboration.
Okay, no, I can imagine that.
It's pretty cool. There's a lot of drag and drop function. Like it works really well. It has a lot of these small little features that are like awesome. And we use it. I think that we use it in our company. We have 130 employees, and it's free for us, which is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Sounds perfect.
All right, so Rachel, what do you think is your like next move? Do you think that you're gonna be in Philadelphia for like the long term, or do you think that you're eventually gonna like do something else, or like you know, do you ever
big
see yourself?
Question. And this decision is final, by the way.
You don't get to change. Even if you don't have like another city or like country involved, do you see yourself ever moving on to let's say the suburbs or something like that?
I don't know.
Taking some matching sweater photos with someone.
I never anticipated like being in Philly for as long as I have. I'm at the point now, like, I promised myself that I'd live in another country by the time I was 30, and now that's getting close
tick,
to
tick,
not
tick.
Happening.
Yeah.
I've got a year and a half, so my new plan is just, like,
Canada's not that far away.
Canada's not that far.
Barely counts.
So my new plan is to start saving up money so that when I turn 30, I can either travel for a while or buy a house. But I'm not really going to...
Those are... that's the decision, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
you're gonna regret either decision. You're gonna be like, you're gonna be traveling, and then you're gonna come back and be like, God, I wish I got a house.
You
and
guys
then
are you're, so you're positive.
Gonna, you're gonna buy no, but and then the, or you're gonna buy the house. You're gonna be like, ugh. God, now I'm stuck in this house. No, and I
that's a Cleggerism, right?
Yeah,
there.
But pure the thing is, if you buy a house, like then the regret of not traveling, it's like harder to travel later if you like have commitments more.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I'd rather regret traveling, which like seems like not a thing that's possible.
No, definitely not.
But I don't know. I just have to find the energy for it, and someone's gotta watch my asshole of a cat.
You can bring him with you.
Fun. So, yeah, yeah. You'll be in the adventures of Sanders and Santiago.
You know, just trekking the world. Yeah, so that's my next plan. I don't really have a plan.
That's pretty good. I mean, you have more of a plan than I do. What are your thoughts on tattoos? Do you have any?
I don't have any tattoos. I think they're great. I think I would regret any single one that I got. Like, if I got one, I'd want to get, like, 10.
Yeah.
And so I think I would just overthink a single one, and it just wouldn't be worth it for me. Also, I really hate needles, so.
Yeah, that would be a roadblock.
Do you guys have tattoos? I see one on you. Is that your only one?
I have one, yeah.
What is that?
It's the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars.
Of course it is.
Buku has a gigantic beaver on his ass.
Yep, yeah, true.
Like a... What?
Like a Canadian beaver, you know, that's part of my childhood. Actually, my friend Bucky gave it to me.
Beaver actually tattooed it.
Beaver
on,
tattooed up. We'll like this, his own likeness. Yeah, I lost the bat with it.
I'll pull down Bugo's pants in between the segments.
I don't know. You know, like
we'll show you after.
If this episode gets favorited 250 times,
yeah. Retweet for Beaver fave for a beaver's dam.
Yeah.
All right, so one more question before we start asking you the actual softball questions.
Oh, there's softball questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have, like, a favorite board game or anything like that?
You seem like a board game person.
I'm not a board game person.
What?
No.
Everyone's a board game person.
Non-traditional? I like Settlers of Catan.
Okay, that's a board game person board game.
Yeah, that's, well, that's the ultimate board game person
no,
board game.
No, I used to play that with
Risk
my...
I think Risk is the ultimate board game.
So there was a weed dealer that lived next to me in college, who I still love. He's great.
Still buy weed out.
But he and I used to play Settlers of Catan, and like it'd be me, him, and another person, and then whoever was stopping by to buy weed would play the other
person. Funny.
Yeah, so that's kind of how
it
sounds.
Like a big commitment if I'm buying weed. Like, we gotta go, like, I want to go buy weed, but I don't want to have to get roped into a game of Settlers.
No, but that's the thing. Like,
just do one turn or
they
whatever.
They would do like one or two turns. They'd hang out for 20 minutes and they'd split. And then the next person would show up and they'd play some turns.
I know, but
and
I'm
then the there
set, go. I'm kind of the guy that wants to stick around and see it through.
Well, you can do sorry, that too.
Okay.
So now we enter the softball portion of the Softball Diaries podcast. So we've definitely observed that you have great natural instincts when it comes to playing sports or softball. I'm just wondering what your athletic history is. Did you play sports growing up?
I played softball all like my whole life basically.
Wow.
I played t-ball and then middle school and high school ball. I was never that good at it. Like my dad was a big fan and my sister was like a phenomenal player, and I just kind of like tagged along because it's what they liked until I discovered volleyball and I realized I was actually pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not built for it. I'm 5'3".
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I can't imagine you making a lot of
so my career with that lasts as long as high school, and then it kind of petered out. But
well, you could have been like the girl in the middle that dives.
Even the setters and the diggers at a college level, they're pretty tall.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I've watched them.
Yeah, 5'2" is at the very low end of things.
That would probably
I'm no Muggsy Bogues, you know? I can't be the anomaly that makes it.
Maybe if you had seen it, maybe if you had committed a little bit more.
Maybe if I had committed, you're not wrong.
Yeah, high-level volleyball, like, the strategy is so cool.
I'm really entertained by volleyball. It's an underrated sport to watch.
Yeah, the communication and the shifting is really awesome.
Right, not beach volleyball. Beach volleyball is boring as hell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some? Yeah, it's too...
It's a lot different.
You know, I mean, it's so hard to do to, like, jump and whatever in sand. But it's, like, very much, like... At the high level, it's like you win a point, you serve, the other team gets a slam point. Like, it's way too much just like
Like, the great part about indoor volleyball...
It's an action sport.
Yeah, well, the good part about indoor volleyball is that there's a lot of points that last, like, several back and forth, as opposed to just, like, one. It's usually just one. Either there's a block, or the ball gets through, or, you know.
Sure. So, what position did you play?
I was a setter. Oh, wait, for softball or volleyball?
That's... I don't...
No, let's go to softball. What position did you play for?
Softball. I was second base, and then for some of the bigger teams I played on, like... I was on an all-star team for my summer league, and I played right field, I was in right field for
right field's not the bragging position.
It's hey, still an all-star.
It's not bragging, but it was actually, in the league that I was in, it was the most fun position because there were a lot of people, like, doing drag bunts and slap bunts and batting left-handed, and so there was a lot of, like, short pop-ups to right field. Which was, like, really, really, really fun. Like, they would hit, like, long line drives to left, but then to right, we'd get, like, the same amount of balls, but they'd be, like, little bloopers and, like, people that could run fast and were outrunning the throw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really fun. But it's also why I can't really, and this is not an excuse, but I'm so blind at night in the outfield. Because my, I don't know, I look up and, like, everything's just, like, fuzzy, hazy, which is why I panic whenever I'm in the outfield. I can't see shit. I
haven't really noticed that.
You should wear a hat.
Should I wear a hat? Should I get like the black smears on?
Yeah,
my
eye black.
Eyes?
Eye black.
We have eye black in the bag.
Oh,
you know, that thing. Yeah.
So, how have you felt the transition from like the traditional softball delivery for hitting versus our overhand kind of hybrid style?
It's not that different as far as like you watch the ball and just try to hit it. It's like it's hard for me to hit a slower pitch though because I don't have any upper body strength. And so, like, it's pretty much dependent on, like, getting your ass around and into it. As opposed to, like, fast pitch, it's like, just stick your bat out and make contact and, like, it'll pop over wherever it needs to go.
Yeah. You could also ask the pitcher to speed it up, you know, like, or if it's possible. Like, yeah.
I feel like people don't take you too lightly. And, like, because, like, some people that clearly aren't good, like, they get this really soft pitches, which makes it even harder to hit sometimes. Right. I don't feel like anyone does that to you. I don't feel like anyone's slowing it down too much.
Well, I mean, I see the pitchers, though, too, and they, like, really heat it up for some of you guys when they're just, like, slinging them in there.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay, I think you're one of the ones that does it.
You do it.
I do it to, yeah, I know. I don't like when people do it to me.
Like, I
don't mind doing
myself.
It to other people. I'm a completely hypocritical human being. Like, that's fine.
So, who brought you to the first game? Because I guess we must have established it's Kira, but, like, Philadelphia's weird like that, or no?
It might have been Ergo.
It was Ergo.
Yeah, Ergo, who has always been an advocate of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ergo brought me out, and then I didn't realize I already knew a couple people out there, like Kira and Matt Kay. And then you guys just got stuck with me, even when they weren't there. It's fun. It's, like, really close to my house, so it's nice to...
Convenience.
It's nice to have something to do.
Cool, yeah. I was kind of wondering what your, like, memories or initial thoughts of the league were, like, if it was, like, you guys are, like, strange, but this will work for my Tuesdays, or if it's, like, I'm kind of into this aesthetic.
No, I'm really into it, because I like the balance that you guys have between casual, where it's like, oh, people just show up and we split up and we figure it out. But then there is, like, a level of competitiveness that people are taking it seriously. So that makes it fun. Like, nobody wants to just, like, be completely, like, I like structured fun. So it's a little structured, but, like, if you mess up, like, it's not the end of the world completely. Like, I think
you beat yourself up more than me beat you up.
I think was it your game that threw a glove at my face through the fence?
It was not me that threw a glove at your face.
No, I think it was Gabe when I messed up. This last time I was on the other side of the fence and he like hurled his glove at my face. I was like,
Gabe has toned down a lot over the years. He used to yell at people that dropped balls.
Well, maybe that's his tone down. Like a couple years ago, the fence wouldn't have been.
Yeah, I think he would have thrown it at you. So.
But I think that's the most like aggressive response to an error that I've gotten, and it was a totally appropriate aggressive response.
Oh, okay.
So.
As long as you.
Yeah, we definitely toe the line of like competition and seriousness, and we're still trying to feel that out because It's like
every game's different.
Yeah, it winds up being. Nothing serious until it becomes extremely competitive, and then every play becomes, you know,
controversial. Yeah, it's weird. You never know what sort of game you're going to get, if it's like a totally aloof game or a more competitive one. I think this last game was great for that, as far as the balance goes.
Yeah. So who's your favorite teammate?
Oh man, I had fun in the outfield with Sam this last time. I think we were both pretty drunk.
Wow, I think this is the first time Sam's ever been called out as a favorite teammate.
Well, I mean, and
it's Sam's an acquired taste. So, you know, like, so, yeah. Playing with Sam.
Every game is a little bit of a different version of Sam, depending on
his how many beers.
I don't know, but before Steph leaves, I think I really like all the girls that play too, because they all seem like pretty level-headed, lovely people, which is always, I don't know.
They seem like lovely people, but level-headed.
Like level-headed. I mean, there are some level-headed girls, but I don't know if Steph is level-headed.
I don't know how to, like, word it. I prefer girls to boys in general. No offense to you guys, but...
No, we're awful.
You fart and you smell bad. So I like girls better than guys. So I think, in general, the girls... are my favorite teammates.
Sure. That's cool. Yeah, I definitely like that there is co-ed teams?
It's not really co-ed. We're not learning anything, right? Oh, I think co-ed has education is... I guess it would be co-ed anyway, right?
Whatever. I like that there are guys and girls that we play with.
So. I'm glad that there are guys and girls, too.
I don't know. I don't know why I said that. I said it like that, but whatever. So
do you, is there like any pitcher that you like hitting off of more than other ones?
I love hitting off Yosuke. I like his razzle dazzle.
I feel like you're the first person to say that Yosuke too. You're iconoclastic in that way. Yosuke's too like unpredictable. Most people don't like that about him.
No, I like that face he gets when he almost hits
no.
you.
No, it's so entertaining. Oh yeah, when he screams like a little girl.
Yeah.
Which is probably more unnerving than him throwing it at your head is him going,
ah! Yeah. That's, okay. That's the one.
I guess it's the right attitude to have.
So, we probably only have a few games left. I think, you know, we'll see how long we can play until it becomes unbearably cold and people stop showing up. But how do you think that we should spend the off season? Because, I mean, Tuesday is going to be wide open.
I don't know. I really hope that we can find something that's, like, a consistent Tuesday night thing, though. I know you guys, like, don't you bowl down in South Philly?
Right. One season we definitely had, like, a couple weeks in a row where we bowl. But, I think it maybe starts, you know... It works out sometimes. I feel like we'll probably bowl.
Bowling. Yeah. Tuesday bowling.
Well, I wish there was something like in the neighborhood, though. We should do like a North Bowl League.
We could like mini golf at that mini golf
place. That's
mini
golf thing. Unpredictably open, though.
No, they're predictably open. I think that's usually... Oh, they're not like open on Tuesdays.
Thursdays. I think they're like Thursdays to Sundays, I think. I was just there on Thursday.
Were you? How'd you do?
I think I had one or two hole-in-ones, but I had way too many blow-up holes, and I really lost it.
Mm. I mean, the art museum hole there is one of the hardest holes in golf.
Is it kitschy and fun, or is it, like, kitschy and depressing? I haven't been.
It's kitschy and fun. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's BYO, and they recently added a couple holes on the outside, and the outdoor holes are pretty creative and fun.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a weird aesthetic. Yeah, but
it's very strange, but it's also pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. But the art museum hole is hard.
Yeah, it's a vague interpretation of the art museum.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we probably couldn't do that every Tuesday anyway.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. It would be odd to be like very competitive about it, like right. stats.
Oh,
like...
wait, I am, I just looked into Balance Studios. They're opening on Frankfurt and they're having a jiu-jitsu class.
Off-season jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I'm sure...
I'm down. I'm totally down.
Klegger's already dislocated arm is ready for some jiu-jitsu practice.
I would love that. I think it would really help my confidence and my self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah. By the end of this movie, I'll be able to ask the girl out and beat up the bully, right?
That's the way it works.
Okay, good. Excellent.
All right, so we're going to get you out of here. These two questions, ask everybody. I feel like we should make a menu of all the dogs and really have it. Maybe at softball prom we do all the different hot dogs.
I mean, some of the hot dogs that people came up with were really lame. Like,
some of them were good.
Some of them were great.
We would have like the classic dog, which would take care of 60% of the people, and then we'd have like the gourmet dogs.
What's your favorite one so far?
I think the sure one sounded the most appetizing to me. The breakfast dog with the...
what was it, pepper jam.
I like the ergo dog. The sushi dog's a good idea.
Sushi dog's a good idea, too, but I'm a little worried that the dog would overpower the sushi a little bit.
Gotta find the right dog.
Sure.
So, absolutely. Anyway, Rachel, you had to design a hot dog. What would it be?
Sanders dog would probably be pretty basic and just be like ranch and hot sauce.
Ranch and hot sauce?
Okay. Yeah. I think it like Frank's Red Hot and ranch on a hot dog.
What are your thoughts on ranch?
I'm the biggest fan of ranch. It's like my second favorite condiment.
It also brings back your southern favorite? Accent great too. Hot like sauce. Ranch.
Ranch. So do you think is the ranch availability in Philadelphia kind of disappointing, lackluster?
It's the most depressing because my third favorite condiment is yellow mustard.
Ew.
And if
ew.
I had known like every single restaurant serves blue cheese and spicy mustard.
Yeah.
Like, all I want is ranch and yellow mustard. Why can't
I can agree with you on the ranch. I definitely like ranch more than blue cheese, but not a fan of yellow. Well. Not a fan of yellow mustard.
Very disappointing.
You're going to be that crazy lady that carries around, like, a ranch packet with her everywhere.
Do
you already do that? Yeah, you do.
I sometimes carry my own yellow mustard with me.
What are your thoughts on salad dressing ranch versus, like, actual ranch, like...
I would never put it on my salad. That's gross.
Yeah.
Like it sort of takes away the point of a salad.
Yeah, like hey, here's your greenery. Now let's smother it with heavy cream and spice.
Actually, that does sound good. All right, and the last question is, what's your walk-up music?
So I think it would have to be Dan Deacon's "Feel the Lightning."
Oh, cool.
Dan yeah. Deacon.
I haven't thought about Dan Deacon in a while. I love Dan Deacon.
I accidentally did a dance battle to Dan Deacon on mushrooms this summer. And it was pretty awesome. Like,
accidentally did a... Okay.
Well, it was like he had the... Like, at his show, he pulled, like, two people up.
And they
were dancing, and one was me, and it hit me right when I was dancing. And so, like, that song has got some meaning for me these days.
Dan Deacon does put on some...
I guess my work can't hear this interview either, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you never mentioned the name, there's no link.
This could be any Rachel Sanders.
Yeah.
This could be any Rachel Sanders, absolutely.
What's your middle name?
Yeah, we're gonna muffle your voice so you're not so squeaky. You're gonna be Darth Vader on this thing.
God, I wish I had another. I speak in the ninth octave. I wish it had a lower register, but here I am. That's not even. I can't even think.
No, that was not even.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's
all. You want to embarrass yourself more? No. Okay.
All right, Buka. Now it's time for. Definitely in the top 10 of favorite segments of yours.
Yeah, obviously.
The stock market.
Yeah.
Who's up? Who's down?
Right. Three interesting characters for us to discuss today.
Always.
First on the list is Yosuke. Though I like how you spelled it on our list of things to do.
Not how you spell his name?
No, not close. But that's fine.
All right, well...
Actually, you just got the U and the S flip-flop. It doesn't matter.
All right. I actually did learn something weird about Yosuke, is the fact that he told me his middle name is Thomas Moore.
One word.
I don't get that at all.
Because he was born in the U.S., so I think his parents wanted their favorite author. Yeah, his parents wanted to give him a middle name, because like, that was like the American thing to do.
Yeah.
So, but they get one middle name, so they named him Thomas Moore or something like that. That's what he said.
It's a strange middle... It's very hard for me to understand if he's ever joking or not, especially when it is extremely hard to know. Especially when he says that, yeah, my middle name is Thomas Moore, and I'm like...
Did you see his license?
No,
I haven't. It's definitely Thomas Moore.
Yeah, I don't know why you would make that up, but, like, I also don't know why it would be true. Either way, we're not judging the character right now. We are judging his ability to play softball. So, Yosuke, to me, brings you, like, for your team, you got great presence on your bench, team player, good pitching, good speed, and good bat, right?
Right. He also, intangibles, I feel like he's a good presence to have on your team. Very easygoing. He always is ready with a smile, which is a good thing. But I feel like he's like a player with almost the highest, like, variance in like what you're getting from him week to week, even pitch to pitch as like a pitcher. Like sometimes he looks super competent and like knows exactly what he does, and then he'll like uncork one like that's like 10 feet over the batter's head, and you're just like, where the hell did that come from? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'd say that focus is a bit of an issue for him. I'd say that he came on very strong at the end of last year, and we figured that that momentum would carry him in. Yeah. And I think that he really kind of reached a ceiling more than anything else.
Well, I think he could. I don't think he's reached his ceiling, but he's reached his ceiling for what he's going to accomplish in this, like, limited of a manner, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that his pitching was amazing and he regressed a little bit, which mm-hmm. which is not in, like, unrealistic. I mean, it's not disappointing or anything like that. But yeah,
I feel like hitting-wise, he's done that, too.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what his, how he's doing as a hitter this year, because I kind of always put him near the top of my lineup, and I'm not sure if that should be
changed or not. I don't think the stats, agree with that move, but I think he is, he was somebody that, like, I think maybe struggles with, pitch selection, maybe more than anything. He's fast, he's hit the ball hard when he gets a hole, like, when he swings at the right pitch, he hits it hard. I think he's like a very good player that just needs like just a smidge more, you know, like I don't know. In the last game, he went 0-for-3, but walk and a strikeout. So I don't know what you can take away from it. In the field, he made a really nice play in right field, but also at third base, like threw a crazy high pitch or a throw that he shouldn't have been doing anyway. I don't know. Do you like his potential or do you dislike his inconsistency? I think that's what it comes down to.
Sure. So for me, as a boom bust player, he's a player that I'm going to draft almost every single time, mostly because I feel like I've seen him beat me before, and I don't like that feeling. I don't like that feeling of him pitching against me effectively. So I'm going to draft him.
Sure. That's a buy, then?
It's a buy for me. Yeah.
I think it's a buy just because. You know, I think that there is always the possibility that he will do something great for your team. At the same time, you know, I just, it's a buy. And I think it will be because I think there's just so much potential there.
Yeah, I wonder if last year that playing in Geesey Field was more, was better showcased his talents.
I think that absolutely is true.
Definitely something to think about. All right, next on the block is Nat Cross. So Nat has been a very strong second half player, in the fact that she started showing up in the second half and has since really blossomed into a major player.
Yeah, I think she would definitely be up a top sort of person for female MVP if she hadn't showed up so late. I don't think she has enough games in her belt. We'll discuss that at some other time, I suppose.
Yeah.
She pitched this past game.
Yeah,
was
in an arsenal.
You know, statistically might. Not as good as what it felt like while we were playing, you know, like she gave up a lot of earned runs, but while we were playing, she felt like she was really doing a great job.
Absolutely.
And I feel like she's not being considered as highly. I think she's underrated. Like people are drafting her farther down. Like they're picking like all the boys before they pick her. And I think that she deserves consideration to be picked, you know, middle rounds for sure.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, she gets on base, she takes her at-bats very seriously, and she's good on the base paths.
Yeah,
defensively, she's very solid fielder. So,
she has trouble with pop-ups. Anything in the air. I think I feel good with her, anything on the ground.
Not a huge knock against her, though, because I have trouble with pop-ups as well.
No, that's a knock against you. Yeah, so yeah, she does. She has the maybe that's you know, your company has trouble with. I guess I haven't seen Rohan try and take any.
I don't think he's good at pop-up.
I don't think he's good at pop-up. Yeah, you guys have trouble reading it. I feel like you smart people should be able to get the trajectory
better.
Yeah,
I think the correlation causation here is completely off base. I'd say that she's an extremely well-rounded player, probably one of the most well-rounded players we have in terms of being strong in all aspects.
Wow, wow, those are strong words.
I mean, that's what I feel. How do you feel about it?
Who are you referring to? Me? I don't know. You're looking at Rachel. It confused me. Oh. All right. No. I think that she's. You're right. She's well rounded, but I'm not sure what. This is. You know, I'm just coming up with something. I don't know what she's particularly great at. Like, there's nothing that I can, like, tell her to do this and she will do it phenomenally. Like, I think she's a good all around player. But, like, to say, like, one of the best, I think, is a little bit too high. So I guess when it comes to buy or sell, I would say that she's so underrated right now, she's about to become overrated.
Okay.
So, I think that she might be, I think, like, last game was, like, peak Natalie, so maybe I'm selling a little.
Wow, selling on the...
Selling
on the news, right, and you buy on the speculation. See,
exactly.
I mean, I feel like what I'm going to say leads into that, because I'm going to buy with lots of upside, so that there it is.
Oh, Sanders, wait, we need your opinion. Are you buying or selling Natalie?
I think she crushed it that last game, and I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't know. I would buy.
What about Yosuke? Sorry, I didn't get that. Wrapping up Yosuke.
Thoughts on
Yosuke. Thoughts on Yosuke.
Just based on my personal thoughts on Yosuke, I would buy all day.
Buy all day. Okay. Yeah. All right. So last on the list is Justin Siebel. That's the Justin that wears that, I don't know, what's physical, he wears a devil's hat. He was the one that played this past game, not the one that coached.
Yeah. Of our I know who Justin is.
Okay, just, sorry. So Siebel, I think he's a really good, he had a really rough play in the outfield, a ball that popped out of his glove, that I think might hurt his stock, but I think he's a really good hitter, shockingly good. He's a doubles hitter, he knows how to play the game, I think, I like him as a fielder, but I do worry that I feel like sometimes he just loses the ball at the last moment or something.
Yeah, I think that I definitely feel like there's a little bit of overconfidence with in terms of a manager assigning him to be like a capable fielder. I don't know if he is a great fielder. I feel like there's some games where he can be the centerpiece of your offense and kind of MVP quality, and there's other games where he is completely out of it and not part of the conversation at all.
So I think he's another consistency guy, like...
Boom bust in the worst possible way.
All right, yeah. I mean, I like what he can give you. I do definitely worry about something. You know, there's just something just holding me back from saying he's a great player, because I really do think he's got the potential. He's very quiet about it, you know? He's a guy that, you know, shows up in the stat sheet, but you don't really feel like he's there in the game, you know, a little bit. But for me, I think it's a buy. I think that he's got the talent to take you to the next level. He just needs to, you know, get... I feel like he's close. He just needs to put it all together. But I think he's getting there.
Yeah, and it's going to be a sell for me just because I'm not sure where to put him in the lineup, and I'm also not sure where to put him in the field.
Gotcha. Sanders?
I don't know who it is.
Okay. So that's a sell from you.
Right. Well, folks, that about wraps it up for us. Looks like the weather's going to be pretty good on Tuesday, so I'll see you guys all out there. You know, this mid-October weather, love it.
When are we going to get together the ballot for awards?
When are we going to get it together?
Yeah, are we going to wait till the end of the season, or...?
I want to wait till the end of the season, that way we can... Well, I don't understand why the MVP voting shouldn't start until the game's over, right?
Okay. All right. Are you going to make it exciting and bells and whistles and make it super cute?
Why would I do that?
I don't know. It's going to be fun. Jeez, Clay, you're just fucking shitting on me. All right. No. Thanks, Sanders, for showing up.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks for curing my hangover.
Sure. You know. Sorry. Happy Canadian Thanksgiving, everyone.